A certain man came to Jesus. Now, the question we're going to chase down at first is, who is this certain man? Who is this person possessed by these demons? Because I think that will be an interesting thing if we can find that out. So let's look just a couple of the details from the story. Here's a list of some things I wrote down about the man that might tell us who he is. He's from the city. He has lived among the tombs, naked, without a home, bound with leg irons and chains, placed under guard, sometimes driven into the wilderness. And the demon tells us the demon's name, which is Legion. So who is this person? The more I studied this, decided I don't think we're supposed to find a name or a specific identity. I think we're supposed to solve a riddle. From the city, lived among the tombs, naked without a home, bound with leg irons and chains, placed under guard, driven into the wilderness. The demon's name is Legion. Here, very quickly, is the aha moment. This man sounds like he is actually a symbol. He sounds like he's a symbol for a people living under, especially in the story, Roman occupation. In fact, several things that I read point exactly to this. So there's obviously sometimes in Scripture levels of meaning. So there's a really good chance that Jesus actually sailed across the lake, met a guy possessed by a demon, and delivered him, and all of that stuff happened. But the way it's written into these stories, at least, becomes a very symbolic thing for people living under Roman occupation. In fact, there's also hints of exile in here. From the kind of the Jewish people and the way that they had been enslaved by different empires in different times. The Assyrians came and killed lots of them. Babylonians came and took them off into captivity, under chains, living amongst graves, under guard, under fear. The clearest thing that we have for thinking that it's a Roman occupation is that the demon actually calls itself Legion, which is a technical name for a large Roman section of the army. I mean, it's pretty explicit. And then the thing about sending the demons into the pigs and the pigs jumping into the ocean, there was a Roman legion in the area whose mascot was a boar's head. I mean, the symbolism, I think, is pretty clear. That we're supposed to read this as people who are under Roman occupation. Who is this man? It was them. There's also hints we could think maybe of it as homeless people in general, people who were cast out by society, all those kinds of things. But then I think it's even larger than that, even deeper than that. So certainly, it referred to those people who were under Roman occupation, but it's bigger and deeper. Sometimes books I'll read talk about it, what's upstream, right? So this is what we see here, but what's the source of all this? What's even further upstream? And here's the real trick. Get ready for this. You are that man possessed by demons. And I think that is how we're supposed to read this. You are that man. We are. I am. And we call this demon by different names now. Then it was identified as Legion, because the Roman Empire was probably the biggest, most dominant system that held these people under oppression. So Legion, Rome, of course. But I'm going to suggest that that same thing is possessing all of us, and we just call it by different names. We don't call it Rome or Legion. We might call it patriarchy. We might call it classism. We might call it racism, nationalism, heteronormativity, any system that asserts one kind of person is superior to another kind of person. Any system that categorizes people and says some are inherently better than others for whatever reason that is. The color of their skin, their gender, the way that they enjoy the world, the language they speak, where they come from, if they've crossed a border recently or hundreds of years ago. I mean, there's all kinds of ways we set up systems where some people are better than others. Some authors that I read call that the domination system. And this domination system is what gave rise to Rome, and it's what gives rise to all of those things that possess us now. So that we are that man. If you want to read more about this, I suggest you go look up Walter Wink. He's an author. He's written several books about this. There's a short, good summary of lots of his work called The Powers That Be. Charles Campbell is another author that writes really brilliantly about this. There's others. Nonfiction writers write about this. Fiction writers write about this in The Grapes of Wrath. Is a good example of that. So I guess there's bad news right here at the beginning is that we're possessed by a demon. And it is legion. And we really can't escape it. It's everywhere. It's the air we breathe. It's the world we live in. It has trained us in certain ways that are hard, hard, hard to escape. When we want to escape it, we find ourselves trapped right in it. But here is the good news. The story of Jesus coming to this certain man, to us, and sets him free. And there's the good news. Though we are possessed by this evil, God desires to set us free, and Jesus works to set us free. I'm going to start jumping around now to some of the other passages we read. So the story of Jesus is that though we are possessed, Jesus can set us free and put us back in our right mind. He can give us a home again when we felt homeless and wandering. Jesus can ground us and set us free. The Galatians passage is a picture of what that could possibly look like. There is no more slave or free, Jew or Gentile, male and female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. That's a picture of that perfect way that God wants to remake the world. And so that gives us a picture, a vision of something to live into. Whenever we find ourselves thinking this is better than that, stop it. Now we're unique, certainly. We each bring our own unique gifts and talents and perspectives. And I'm not saying that that differences don't matter. I'm saying that differences don't equate into any kind of hierarchy. Of better than, just different from. And so we can begin to celebrate those differences and live into that picture. Now, finally, I want to talk about the Elijah story, because I think the Elijah story gives us some practical advice in how to live in this situation. So our situation is that we are possessed by a demon, and that demon is the domination system. Racism, sexism, classism, patriarchy, all of those things that set some people better than others. We live in that system. We are possessed by it. Jesus wants to set us free. And we have a picture of what that looks like. Where people are different and unique, but equal. And then the Elijah story, I think, will give us some handles for how to live in that situation. I talked about the story earlier. We read it. Elijah had just done this great crazy miracle and confronted the powers, the system of his day. It was Rome in Jesus' day. It was the Baal worshipers in Elijah's day. It's the same thing. It's the particular way the domination system exerted its pressure in that world. And Elijah confronts that system. And that system hates him for it and wants to kill Elijah. And so he runs away. And he's exhausted and he is scared. And that might be where we find ourselves. Some of us have been waking up to the presence of this domination system in the world, and we're angry and scared and running for our lives. Then suddenly a messenger tapped, an angel taps on Elijah's shoulder and says, "Get up and eat something." Elijah opened his eyes and saw flatbread baked on glowing coals and a jar of water right by his head, and he ate and he drank, and then he took a nap. I think sometimes when we are overwhelmed by the evil around us, we need to eat and drink, take a nap. And that can go a long way to healing us. And not feel bad about that. There are times when we are exhausted and we don't know what to do. We can feel an angel of God tap our shoulder and say, "Get up and eat something. Drink some water and then take a nap. Because the road ahead of you is going to be hard." And then Elijah keeps going, and then there's this beautiful scene where Elijah is on a mountain, and Elijah is going to see God. God's going to pass by him. He's going to experience the presence of God. And it's this beautiful thing. There's a strong wind that breaks the stones. Can you imagine wind strong enough to break the stones on a mountain? And God is not in the wind. And there's an earthquake that shakes the world, and God is not in the earthquake. And a fire tears across the mountain, and God's not in the fire. And then there was a sound. Thin. Quiet. And Elijah finds God in the thin, quiet sound. There are times we need to stop and rest and eat something. And I think a constant call for us is to listen. And that listening may be directly for God's voice, directly in that thin, quiet sound. It may be when we gather for worship to keep our ears open and listen. For the thin, quiet sound in the reading of the scriptures, in the lighting of a candle, in the tasting of the bread, in the wine, in the Eucharist, in the greeting one another partway through a service. Maybe that thin, quiet sound is the hand that's on your shoulder from somebody in this room. We need to always be listening for where God is. I think there's a way we can listen to each other also. We can listen to people who are chained. We can listen to people who are naked and homeless and afraid. And we can listen to our friends when they feel metaphorically naked and homeless and afraid. We can listen to people's stories of people who are different than us, because there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free. And so we should listen if we are slaves to free people. And if we are slaves, or if we're free people, we should listen to slaves. And whatever those are, we find those boundaries that we've built in the world and start listening. And maybe we'll even hear God's voice in those thin, quiet spaces. We are all possessed by evil. It is something bigger than us. It is the systems of the world. It's the domination system. It's the ways that set people above one another. We are trapped in it. We are possessed. But Jesus is here to set us free, to put us in our right mind. The scriptures in various ways, especially in that Galatians passage, give us a clear picture of what that looks like. Where we are each certainly different, but we are the same. There is no better than. And Elijah's story gives us practical advice how to live into that. Sometimes we need to rest. Sometimes we need to eat a snack. We always need to listen. I invite you into a journey out of bondage and into freedom. I invite you on a journey out of bondage and into freedom. Lord God, would you grant us ears to hear and to listen? as Psalm 42 will pray for us, that we would hear you singing your song through the night, that we would listen to that song of freedom and liberation, that song of calling to us, that song of giving us hope when we are depressed, that beautiful song that points to your kingdom on earth. God, give us those ears to hear. Set us free from these things that bind us, that we might live in freedom, in your freedom. Give us this grace by the power of your Holy Spirit indwelling in us, opening our ears and eyes and hearts to you and to one another. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.